Chapter 2. Miss Treason. This is Tiffany Aching, riding a broomstick through the mountain forests 100 miles away. It's a very old broomstick, and she's flying it just above the ground. It's got two smaller broomsticks stuck on the back like training wheels to stop it from tipping over. It belongs, appropriately, to a very old witch called Miss Treason, who's even worse at flying than Tiffany and is 113 years old. Tiffany is slightly more than 100 years younger than that, taller than she was even a month ago, and not as certain of anything at all as she was a year ago. She is training to be a witch. Witches usually wear black, but as far as she could tell, the only reason that witches wore black was that they'd always worn black. This did not seem a good enough reason, so she tended to wear blue or green. She didn't laugh with scorn at finery, because she'd never seen any. You couldn't escape the pointy hat, though. There was nothing magical about a pointy hat, except that it said that the woman underneath it was a witch. People paid attention to a pointy hat. Even so, it was hard to be a witch in the village where you'd grown up. It was hard to be a witch to people who knew you as Joe Aching's girl, and had seen you running around with only your undershirt on when you were 2 years old. Going away had helped. Most people Tiffany knew hadn't been more than 10 miles away from the spot where they were born, so if you'd gone to mysterious foreign parts, that made you a bit mysterious too. You came back slightly different. A witch needed to be different. Witching was turning out to be mostly hard work and really short on magic of the zap, glingle, glingle, glingle variety. There was no school and nothing that was exactly like a lesson, but it wasn't wise to try to learn witching all by yourself, especially if you had a natural talent. If you got it wrong, you could go from ignorance to cackling in a week. When you got right down to it, it was all about cackling. No one ever talked about this, though. Witches said things like, you can never be too old, too skinny, or too warty. But they never mentioned the cackling. Not properly. They watched out for it, though, all the time. It was all too easy to become a cackler. Most witches lived by themselves, cat optional, and might go for weeks without ever seeing another witch. In those times when people hated witches, they were often accused of talking to their cats. Of course they talked to their cats. After 3 weeks without an intelligent conversation that wasn't about cows, you'd talk to the wall. And that was an early sign of cackling. Cackling, to a witch, didn't just mean nasty laughter. It meant your mind drifting away from its anchor. It meant you losing your grip. It meant loneliness and hard work and responsibility and other people's problems driving you crazy a little bit at a time, each bit so small that you'd hardly notice it, until you thought that it was normal to stop washing and wear a kettle on your head. It meant you thinking that the fact you knew more than anyone else in your village made you better than them. It meant thinking that right and wrong were negotiable. And in the end, it meant you going to the dark, as the witches said. That was a bad road. At the end of that road were poisoned spinning wheels and gingerbread cottages. What stopped this was the habit of visiting. Witches visited other witches all the time, sometimes travelling quite a long way for a cup of tea and a bun. Partly this was for gossip, of course, because witches love gossip, especially if it's more exciting than truthful. But mostly, it was to keep an eye on one another. Today, Tiffany was visiting Granny Weatherwax, who was, in the opinion of most witches, including Granny herself, the most powerful witch in the mountains. It was all very polite. No one said, "Not gone bats then," or, "Certainly not, I'm as sharp as a spoon." They didn't need to. They understood what it was all about, so they talked of other things. But when she was in a mood, Granny Weatherwax could be hard work. She sat silently in her rocking chair. Some people are good at talking, but Granny Weatherwax was good at silence. She could sit so quiet and still that she faded. You forgot she was there. The room became empty. It upset people. It was probably meant to. But Tiffany had learned silence, too, from Granny Aching, her real grandmother. Now she was learning that if you made yourself really quiet, you could become almost invisible. Granny Weatherwax was an expert. Tiffany thought of it as the I'm not here spell, if it was a spell. She reasoned that everyone had something inside them that told the world they were there. That was why you could often sense when someone was behind you, even if they were making no sound at all. You were receiving their I am here signal. Some people had a very strong one. They were the people who got served first in shops. Granny Weatherwax had an I am here signal that bounced off the mountains when she wanted it to. When she walked into a forest, all the wolves and bears ran out the other side. She could turn it off, too. She was doing that now. Tiffany was having to concentrate to see her. Most of her mind was telling her that there was no one there at all. Well, she thought, that's about enough of that. She coughed. Suddenly, Granny Weatherwax had always been there. Miss Treason is very well, said Tiffany. A fine woman, said Granny. Oh, yes. She has her funny ways, said Tiffany. We're none of us perfect, said Granny. She's trying some new eyes, said Tiffany. That's good. There are a couple of ravens. It's just as well, said Granny. Better than the mouse she usually uses, said Tiffany. I expect they are. There was a bit more of this, until Tiffany began to get annoyed at doing all the work. There was such a thing as common politeness, after all. Oh well, she knew what to do about it now. Mrs. Earwig's written another book, she said.
I heard, said Granny.
The shadows in the room maybe grew a little darker. Well, that explained the sulk. Even thinking about Mrs. Earwig made Granny Weatherwax angry. Mrs. Earwig was all wrong to Granny Weatherwax. She wasn't born locally, which was almost a crime to begin with. She wrote books, and Granny Weatherwax didn't trust books. And Mrs. Earwig, pronounced R-Widge, at least by Mrs. Earwig, believed in shiny wands and magical amulets and mystic runes and the power of the stars, while Granny Weatherwax believed in cups of tea, dry biscuits, washing every morning in cold water, and, well, she believed mostly in Granny Weatherwax. Mrs. Earwig was popular among the younger witches, because if you did witchcraft her way, you could wear so much jewellery that you could barely walk. Granny Weatherwax wasn't popular with anyone much, except when they needed her. When death was standing by the cradle, or the axe slipped in the woods and blood was soaking into the moss, you sent someone hurrying to the cold, gnarly little cottage in the clearing. When all hope was gone, you called for Granny Weatherwax, because she was the best. And she always came. Always. But popular? No. Need is not the same as like. Granny Weatherwax was for when things were serious. Tiffany did like her, though, in an odd kind of way. She thought Granny Weatherwax liked her, too. She let Tiffany call her Granny to her face, when all the other young witches had to call her Mistress Weatherwax. Sometimes Tiffany thought that if you were friendly to Granny Weatherwax, she tested you to see how friendly you would stay. Everything about Granny Weatherwax was a test.